Very good. All right. Well, I would like this morning to continue with you on the subject of unity, of what Christian unity is, what it means for us here at St. Francis, and how we practice it. I want to look at the verse that Pete read just a minute ago. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. From James. There's a little different order in the translation we had in the bulletin. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. The same idea, this has to do with how we practice our unity. And that's what I want to unpack today with you together. Peace, of course, is a huge topic in the scriptures. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. That's what you get to be called as a peacemaker. The righteous are blessed because righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There's peace and righteousness together. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, the way we think about things, if we were to look at that verse, we'd say God is not the author of confusion, but of understanding. But no, it's peace. And Paul says again, for he himself is our peace. And God is the author of peace and lover of concord, that great phrase from morning prayer in the prayer book. So I want to unpack this a little bit. And what I'd like you to do is picture a wagon wheel. I thought of drawing one, but I figured you might then not be able to picture one after I drew it. So if you could just picture a wagon wheel, and there's the rim, of course, and there's the middle, which is the hub, and then the spokes. And that's like a picture of the church. The closer the spokes get to the middle, the closer they are together. That's the picture of the practice of unity. And the idea is this: the closer we are to Jesus, the closer we are to each other. And the practice of unity is the practice of becoming closer to Jesus. The closer we individually become to Jesus, the closer we are to each other. And it's that set of rhythms and practices that enhances and magnifies the unity that God has given us. And we've seen already that our prayers come out of that. The prayers of the people we saw a few weeks ago is the collection of the prayers God has given each of us when we come together. And that's one of the places where unity is experienced. We've also seen that the source of our unity is being with other people who have put their complete trust in Jesus. We put our complete trust in Jesus. Others have done the same thing. That action of trusting Jesus is the source of our unity. And we saw that it's not agreeing or having the same style, all of which is great. I mean, I don't want to give up any of that, but that's not where the unity comes from. It comes from completely trusting Jesus. Today, what we're going to look at is how to put that unity into practice. And it's one of the practical steps of being a follower of Jesus. It's one of the earmarks, you might say, of discipleship. It can also be one of the most crucifying for us of practices of following Jesus. It can also be one of the most growth-producing for us as individuals and also as a fellowship. When our witness to the community as one in Christ shows how the gospel is true and real, and it shows how actually true and real it is when we are practicing that unity. In other words, coming closer to Christ and in so doing, coming closer to each other. It means that we'll be taking steps of becoming a more hospitable, more healing community of the kingdom of God. And the way that we do that is by coming closer to Jesus. So let's unpack that a little more. You know, it's how we take let me put it this way. It's how we take down our ideological, racial, political, economic, and many other barriers that we may have, and show the merciful power of the gospel that is among us. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to give up all of our opinions and all that. It's that when they're barriers, we take them down. And we take them down by becoming closer to Jesus. Not by saying, oh, yeah, you know, that thought I've had for so long, yeah, that was wrong. Well, maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. But the crux of the matter, remember, crux is a form of crucify, is coming closer to Jesus. Let me build on this wagon wheel just a little more. So you picture the wagon wheel. Here's the middle. Here's the spokes. And when we come closer to Christ, we're closer to each other. Let's say we're getting closer to Christ. We're coming along our path, and we see the next spoke over. We see that person, and we think, well, I want to be agreeable with them. So we move closer to them. Well, what happens? We have moved away from the person over here. See, the spokes are all an equal distance away. But if we move to somebody else because I like their ideas, I like their ideology, I like their preferences, I like whatever it is, and it's not specifically coming closer to Christ, we move towards them and away from the others. It is always the primary objective, the most important thing, that we come closer to Jesus in everything we do. And we'll see how that works. We'll see how we can do that. So let's take a closer look at this verse from James. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, the Greek word for peace here is eirene. And that we get our English word eirenic from that. And it means whole, healthy relationships. It reflects the character of Jesus, one of whose names is Wonderful Counselor. Now, if you've ever needed a counselor and found an effective one, what you have reached is peace. That's the fruit of an effective time of dealing with whatever it is that's troubling you. And even if you haven't gone to someone who's a professional therapist, but you've gone to a friend who's helped you, you've reached peace. That's what Jesus brings. And peacemakers who sow in peace, they raise a harvest of righteousness. So what we want to do is find that peace in all of our relationships and all of what's going on. Now, I mean, to be honest, some of these relationships, that's harder to find in than others. But with Jesus, it's possible. And the path to doing that is getting closer to Jesus. Well, the first thing to practice in coming to Jesus, closer to Jesus all the time, is what would come to mind, the typical practical disciplines of the faith. You're reading the Bible, coming to worship like this, having prayer time, spending time with Jesus. When you feel Jesus is prompting you to do something, you do it. Those things will bring you closer to Jesus. There are also practices that fit just you. See, those practices fit everybody, but there's practices that will fit just you. And I don't know what they are, but you would get to know them. So how do you get to know them? Well, it's a simple step. You say, Jesus, how do you want me to come closer to you today? Just like that. And see what comes to mind. And as you continue that kind of discipline, there will be practices that fit you perfectly. And as you do those, whatever they may be, you're coming closer to Jesus. It will be the core of how you practice the unity that Jesus is giving us. The unity we have here at St. Francis, the unity we have in other places of the church that we see and understand and experience, it is magnified. It becomes the core of that unity when we practice coming closer to Jesus. Now, if you were to press me on that, I would say that's how you do everything. You come closer to Jesus and everything's going to work sooner or later in the way that Jesus wants it to. But I think where we often stumble is in the idea of unity, where we think unity is, well, I agree with this person, or I like what this other person likes, so we're together on that. Well, you're together on that, but that's not together in Christian unity. Christian unity, the unity that Jesus is giving us, the unity that is between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that he's giving us, is the unity of us coming closer to Christ. And it doesn't matter how much the other person disagrees with us. If they are becoming more and more like Jesus and we are, that unity is growing and strengthening. And it is showing the community just how real Jesus is. Okay, second practice. That's the first one. Keep coming closer to Jesus. And when you can't figure out how to do it, ask Jesus, how do you want me to come closer to you today? And you will be on your way into the second step. And the second step is this. It's relating to others as Jesus would have you relate to them. I mean, most of my energy, if I'm honest, I'm thinking about, well, how would I like to relate to them? What do I like about them? And what do I want to connect with them about? And what's going to lift me up and all that? All of which is very important. But there's also the aspect of how does Jesus relate to them? And if I am becoming like Jesus, then I relate to them the same way Jesus relates to them. I see in them what Jesus sees in them. Because I already know what I see in them. But I want to know what Jesus sees in them. So, how do you do that? Well, it's pretty much the same way you do the rest of this. You go to Jesus and you say, here's so-and-so. What do you see in them? Could you show me that? Now, here's what can get a little crucifying. If crucifying is something that can happen a little, I don't think so. But nonetheless, it's crucifying to do that. Think of somebody who thinks differently than you do. And they kind of irritate you about that. Does anybody need another minute? Okay. So you think of that person, and you already know how you see them. So you ask Jesus, this person in my mind that thinks differently than I do, who irritates me, how do you see them? What do you see when you look at them? I would like to see it too, because I want to be like you. And see what happens. Ask him. Wait for the answer. See what it does within you. You might find that you still don't agree with them, but the temptation to put them down is replaced with a desire to relate to them and see them with the dignity that God has given them. Even though you still might disagree. That's just going to happen. When you start asking Jesus, how do you see that one? What starts growing within you is the ability to see the dignity of all people. That's one of the marks of following Jesus. It's one of the ways when that person is in the church that the unity is magnified and the gospel is shown for what it is in the community. Well, okay, I did mention it would be a little crucifying, so maybe you're seeing how that is at the moment. One other practice, and we've been over it earlier in the summer, and that's forgiveness. And that's to forgive as you have been forgiven. That was hard for me to say, wasn't it? Not that I'm resisting it. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Ask the Spirit of God to give you the power to let go of that demand that the past would have been different. This person came into this church and they did this thing and they never should have done that, and we've never done it that way before. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you ask God to give you the power and the capacity to let go of that demand that they never should have done that in this church in that way, and they should have found out first what was going on. You just ask God for the ability to let go of that. And as that happens, what's going to happen to you? You're going to grow into the likeness of Christ, and the unity of the church is going to increase, and the witness to the community around is going to be more authentic and powerful. This is crucifying stuff. And maybe if you're thinking about outreach to the community, you're thinking, well, I prefer to memorize Bible verses and be able to answer questions. which, by the way, doesn't always get you to be like Jesus. But following Jesus, relating to others as Jesus does, forgiving as Jesus does, that gets you to be like Jesus. And that's where the unity comes from. And what happens is we reach the goal. The goal that James mentions here is peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. See, the goal is never to win the argument. I told you this was going to be crucifying. The goal is never to win the argument. You still might win it, but you didn't reach the goal. The goal is to raise a harvest of righteousness. What you do right now, today, in your relationships, in your prayers, in the way that you follow Jesus, will plant seeds that raise a future harvest of righteousness. And that's what we are called to do. That will do a lot more to convince a lot more people of the truth of the gospel than our ability to articulate an argument and win the debate. Or get our way. Or whatever it might be that you want and I want. And as we do these disciplines of coming closer to Jesus, then we begin to want more and more a harvest of righteousness. Let me give you an example of this. A couple of weeks ago, when I was away for the weekend and Christy was here preaching and you all were here having a great time, I was at a wedding. I did a wedding at the church we were at in Pennsylvania. One of the members there, who had been there when we were there, of course, asked me to come and do his wedding. And I hadn't seen this person for 15 or 16 years, I don't know. Been a long time. And I said I'd be happy to, and we did a little preparation and got the Bishop of Pennsylvania's permission and the whole thing that you're supposed to do. And he was having it in his backyard, which is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a lot, where we were is a lot like around here. It's just a beautiful area. So there we are in his backyard. I pull into his driveway. There's already a few people there. This was for the rehearsal. And he sees me and he comes up to me and he's like this tall. And he hugs me. And he's crying. He says, "I'm so glad you came." And then a little bit after that, he starts saying, "You know, it's been hard for us to find another church. I want you to know that what you taught, I was able to understand." By the way, I'm hoping the same for many of you. "What you taught, I was able to understand. And I still have things that you said around the house, written down and around the house. 15 or 16 years ago, and he's done that." And this particular friend, he didn't go to Bible study groups. He didn't come out midweek. He did have a ministry going for a little while. It was called Harvesting Hands. It was very much like the garden that we used to have. But after that, he would show up on Sundays and sometimes miss. And that was it. I never heard him pray out loud. I never saw him witness to the gospel. I never saw him pray for anybody else that was sick or anything like that. But there it was. The seeds that were planted were bringing a harvest of righteousness. And there were some others at the wedding who were from that church. And another one said to me almost the same thing: "When you taught, I understood." I haven't experienced that. And he said, "Another thing I saw at this church when you were here, strangers showed up. They didn't know anybody else in the church. And they met the Lord." I didn't know he noticed that. He was another guy a little ornery about small groups and Bible study and praying out loud. He would come to the Sunday school sessions. We'd have some time, and he'd be the one who'd say, "Now, wait a minute." And you could imagine that he had an alternate point of view. But the harvest of righteousness came up from the seeds that were planted. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. That's the desire that God puts in our hearts. That's the mark of following Jesus. Those are the things that are the reward of what we're doing. See, that's the story of our lives, yours and mine. The seeds that God asks you to sow, he will raise into a harvest of righteousness. As you ask for his capacity to become more and more like Jesus, and there's a peace that flows through your life and then to those around you who will receive it, seeds are planted in that kind of situation, that kind of context, they will raise a harvest of righteousness. You might argue with somebody about your thoughts and their thoughts, and you might even win the argument, but there's no harvest of righteousness coming from that. It's seeing that person the way Jesus sees them. It's forgiving others the way Jesus forgives them. It is asking Jesus to keep drawing you closer and to show you how to get closer to him. That's what will raise the harvest of righteousness. That's what will make St. Francis more and more a healing community of the kingdom of God. And that's what will make the truth and power and mercy of the gospel real to those around us. So, if you would take your consideration today, what is God telling you about this? What is God telling you personally about this? What is God putting on your heart about how you would come personally closer to Jesus and who he wants to show you something about their lives and the way Jesus sees them and how you might forgive? Any of those. What's God telling you about that? As you hear it and receive it and walk in it, you're on the path of unity and the path of seeing a harvest of righteousness come forward. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we ask that as we pray each and every Sunday that you would make us instruments of your peace, that we would become so more and more, even beyond what we can imagine what that would be like, and that we would be peacemakers who sow in peace and then raise a harvest of righteousness. And that would be the mark of our lives. The love that you have would be the mark of our lives, all of our lives, for the glory of your name. Amen.